Thank you, Mr. Westtuttle. Getting nearer time, though, we can do Christmas music beforehand. Maybe next Tuesday. Well, we won't have class next Tuesday, but the next Tuesday. Yeah, let's do that. Okay. Gospel of John 15. Gospel of John 15, abiding in him and he abiding in us. Abiding in him, abiding in his love. Okay, let's talk about prayer time. I announced last night that Tish is getting bad. Yeah. And it's getting severe.
Excuse me, when you say getting bad, means she has a hard time getting around or hurts her?
It hurts. She's in pain. It's not going away. And one doctor told her she's at level 4.
Uh-oh.
Stage 4.
Yeah,
she's stage 4. I'm sorry. She's stage 4. And so we need to be in prayer for Tish. And so for guidance, for healing, and that type of thing.
What's her mental state?
I'm sorry?
What is her mental state?
She's doing okay. She just, you know, kind of like put it in her word. Come on, Lord. Where do you lead me? Somewhere here. And so she just needing for divine guidance. Let's see. We need to be in prayer for Molly, Alicia. We need to be in prayer. Yes.
My wife's doing okay. I said Sunday that I took her to the emergency room, and she had her stress test today, and everything's fine. I think she's getting better, and I think, just me, I don't know that she would agree to this, that she spends hours playing a video game upstairs on my computer, and she's kind of scrunched up in the chair, and if you're, it's like carpal tunnel syndrome. If you're in a weird position, your muscles and bones are going to hurt.
Well, get her out of that closet and let her sit out in the living room. She can get four beer.
She's got a computer of her own, but she wants to use mine.
My goodness.
Can't have any
one. Yeah, that's a good thing.
I guess I'm glad I didn't find a lot of those video games, because I'd be addicted. I'd play all the time on them if I knew where they were or how to get them or buy the software.
Yeah, just download them from...
Don't tell him.
We'll get together later. I need to talk to you after class about something else.
No. We're going to have a separation there. Don't ever get no Bible class then.
So how is she feeling?
Much better. Just getting around, not being on the computer all day or something, maybe that, or not all day, she's sometimes 2 or 3 hours, but she's much better.
I stay at the computer longer than that, but I'm not all hunched down or anything.
Well, she's got a friend, some of her friends are, when they get together, the doctors, they have memorable stories. Oh, you know these two ladies that were here? There's lots of stories.
Well, we need to continue to be in prayer for your wife and your sister and your niece. You're only allowed 3. No.
And my sister and her daughter are getting along better. Don't know what the key thing was, but
it's Christmas.
My sister sat down one time or called her daughter and said, "I need your help. And so she's spent more time at home trying to help, and things are going better.
Good. Sometimes what we need is to be needed. When we're not needed, we don't care. So that's good. All right. Need to continue to be in prayer for Cindy Edwards.
Also, the
Johnson
and John, in addition to John.
In Tucson. Yeah. Okay. And John Hintz will be here Sunday, here actually Saturday evening, but he'll be here Sunday morning. And let's see, any other prayer? You'd be in prayer for Sharon. She's going to the doctor tomorrow and find out more what's going on with her. And so, does anybody know Eve? Is Eve okay?
She's in New York.
Huh?
She's in New York.
Well, excuse me. I'm sorry. Great. Las Vegas, New York. My goodness. Okay. All right, let's prepare ourselves for our study. Let's pray. Last night, Heavenly Father, we opened the scriptures and learned so much about where we are when we die, the compartments in the underworld, who's in them, why, and how long. You didn't leave us wondering about those things. And now, Heavenly Father, we deal with our life, how we're to be in Christ, how we're to be so occupied with Him that in the power of Your Spirit we love as He loved, to grow in our knowledge and understanding of Him. What a privilege it is to do that. And so tonight, Father, we picked up that motif of study, centered on the person of Christ and our relationship with Him during our life. Pray that Your Spirit will open our eyes to the things that You would have us to see, Father. In Christ's name, amen. Okay, let's pick up right where we left off in 15 and verse 4. Abide in Me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, and we've already know from verse 1, He is the vine. So neither can you unless you abide in Me. All right? Abide in Me, and I also in you. That's what we want to look at first tonight, so let's begin with some points. We can develop our thought process. Abide in Me, and I also in you. Point one, these are two distinct things. These are two distinct abidings. These are two distinct things. Two, this does not happen at salvation, faith in Jesus Christ. Abiding in Him and Him abiding in us does not happen at salvation, faith in Jesus Christ. At the point of faith in Jesus Christ, we are placed in Him. We are baptized in Him. That's different from abiding in Him. We're never told to be in Christ. That is something the Holy Spirit does the moment we believe in Him under the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But here we're told to abide in Him and continually throughout our life. Point three. At salvation, point three is, I just was talking, but here it is. Point three, at salvation, we are baptized in Christ. We are baptized in Christ. We cannot lose that position. That's our state of existence, is in Him positionally. Point four. However experientially our life here on earth, day in and day out, we may or may not abide in Him. We may or may not be abiding in Him, and that means that He may or may not be abiding in us. Five, the believer being in Christ is a one-shot decision. But abiding in Christ is a constant daily challenge to every believer. Being in Christ is by one-shot decision, but abiding in Christ is a constant daily challenge to every believer all day long. You can be abiding in Him, get in your car, and 5 minutes in your car, you're no longer abiding in Him, and He no longer is abiding in you. He wants to get out of that car. And so you got these. That was supposed to have been a little. That was an attempt at being whimsical, but it certainly failed. Good shot. And so. Do what? To. Yeah. So. Experientially alive, we may or may not be abiding in Him and Him in us. 5, the believer being in Christ is a one-shot decision, but abiding in Christ is a constant daily challenge. Point 6, and I also in you. Question, how does Jesus Christ abide in us? How does Jesus Christ abide in us? We've dealt with how we abide in Him. We abide in Him when we walk by faith in the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit does experientially then the realization of where we are positionally. We're abiding in Christ as we are positioned in Him. So just as we abide now, just as we abide in Him by faith in the Holy Spirit, something else happens. That's not the only thing that happens when we walk by faith in the Holy Spirit. Something else happens. What else happens? Jesus abides in us. Jesus abides in us. People, we cannot lose the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. You cannot lose that. That's the seal of your salvation. Every born-again believer is sealed by the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. So we cannot lose the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, but we can lose the abiding of Jesus Christ in us. All we have to do is not be in fellowship with the Holy Spirit. That's all we have to do. The Holy Spirit prepares us, as it were, like a temple. Now Christ can come in. When the Holy Spirit is not there, Jesus Christ is not there. All we have to do is not be in fellowship with the Holy Spirit. The believer abides in Christ by faith in the Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ abides in us by the presence of the Holy Spirit. There's so little teaching on things that we're studying now, the relationship of the believer, the Holy Spirit, Jesus Christ, all these things. They're too busy telling people all they have to do for God. All they have to do is be moral, do this, do that, judge, malign, all these things. People, we need to get way beyond that. That's elementary. Being saved by the gospel. We need to know about fellowship, the Holy Spirit in us, dwelling, indwelling us, walking in the Spirit by faith, abiding in Christ by faith in the Spirit. And when we're walking by faith in the Spirit, that's where Christ wants to be. It's like, analogy would be, like a beautiful, perfect, wonderful, happy home. People like to be in a happy home. You don't want to go to a home where the man and woman, the husband and wife, are fighting, arguing, bitching at one another. You don't want to do that. You don't want to be in a home where the husband's mad and he's off fishing or doing something else, just leaving the place, and the woman's left there, or they have little words against each other. The children are always fighting. Who wants it? Listen, it's time I leave. Well, you just got here. Well, I got to leave. Don't want to be there. But when everyone is happy, and there's music, And then people want to visit. Same thing with Christ. If we're not in fellowship with the Spirit whom He's sent, why would He want to be in fellowship with us? He wouldn't want to be in fellowship with us. So, this becomes very important. So, point six here is that we abide in Him by faith in the Holy Spirit, and He abides in us with the presence of the power of the Holy Spirit, the active ministry of the Holy Spirit. Because, see, we always have the Holy Spirit in us, but we lose that fellowship with Him. We lose His leading. We're no longer walking with Him. No, we're no longer following Him. All these things that we saw in Galatians 5. Four or five different words. Walk with Him. Be guided by Him. Walking with Him. So, we can either be that or not. If we're not, then we're not in fellowship with the Holy Spirit. We're not right with God. We haven't lost our salvation, but we're not right with God. Well, Christ doesn't want to be there. But when we're walking in fellowship with the Spirit, you have the joy, the peace, the love of the Holy Spirit. That's where Christ wants to be. So He will come and abide in us. Any question? Okay, point seven. Just as Jesus Christ serves God the Father by bringing man to Him, Christ came to bring us to the Father. So the Holy Spirit serves Jesus Christ by causing the believer to abide in Him. So there's fellowship. John 14:16. Let's just turn back one page, maybe, if you have to. I don't know. John 14:16. And I will ask the Father, He will give you another Parakletos, that He may be with you forever. All right? Jesus Christ calls the Holy Spirit another of the same kind as Himself, a Parakletos. To get the picture of the relationship of Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. Let's just have a little fun, get that picture, because we had it from the very beginning. Please look at Genesis chapter 2 a moment. Genesis chapter 2, verse 18. Then the Lord God said, "It is not good for the man, Adam, to be alone." He's the first Adam. Jesus Christ is the second Adam. "I will make him a helper suitable for him." The Hebrew, "I will make," is the word asa, to make out of something, out of the substance of Adam, his rib, a helper suitable. The Hebrew actually says a helpmate corresponding to. A helpmate corresponding to. Eve was in the likeness of Adam. The Holy Spirit is in the likeness of Christ, deity. Eve was humanity. Jesus, the Holy Spirit, is deity as Christ is deity. The Holy Spirit is a corresponding helpmate of Jesus Christ. He works with Jesus Christ in our salvation. He works with Jesus Christ in our abiding in Christ. And He works with Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ abiding in us. He is the reason that Jesus Christ will abide in us. Fellowship with us is because we have the presence of the active ministry of the Holy Spirit. So he sets up our soul, as it were, a temple, and that's where Christ wants to be. Is this clear? Okay, this is what the Holy Spirit does. So Christ came to bring us to the Father. The Holy Spirit comes to bring us to Christ, put us into Christ. It's one of the primary reasons you don't invite Jesus into your heart. He does the inviting. Invites us to Him. So, this is what the Holy Spirit does. He works with Jesus Christ in our abiding in Christ, which is for the benefit of Christ, fellowship of Christ with His flock, and with Jesus Christ abiding in the believer. He is the one who produces all the fruit through the believer. We're getting close to the whole fruit bearing. It is all totally dependent on the ministry of God the Holy Spirit. There is a joint effort between Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. There is no joint effort between us doing work and even the Holy Spirit or God. He does it all. But there is a joint effort between the relationship of Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. People love to give man credit by saying God does His part and we do our part. That's a lie. That's a false view of God. It's a false view of man in salvation one or two, or in producing fruit in our life. We can do nothing but faith. It is God, the Holy Spirit, who does the producing. We do not do our part, and Jesus Christ does His part. It's salvation one, eternal salvation. We just believe. We do not do our part, and the Holy Spirit does His part for salvation two. We just believe. We do not do our part, and the Holy Spirit does His part in fruit bearing. We just walk by faith. It's a fruit of the Spirit. Comes out from us. Everything is totally dependent on God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. So, abiding in Christ, we do by working in the Spirit. Christ abiding in us is a result of the work of the Holy Spirit, not anything we do. Okay, verse 4, chapter 15. Chapter 15, verse 4. Abide in me, and I in you. That is reality. That's reality. Now an illustration. Here's an illustration from nature. As, see that as is illustration. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. Now the lesson. See? Abide in me and I also in you. That's reality. Then the illustration. A branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it is abides in the vine. Now the lesson. So neither can you. So here's the lesson. Neither can you, believer, unless you abide in me, Jesus Christ. As the branch, again, believers, cannot bear fruit of itself. All through Scripture, God uses these illustrations of nature. Let there be light, for an example. It's an illustration from nature of the gospel. Man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. It's a bread illustration to our body and to our life. John 12:24. I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains by itself alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. That's simply a point from nature. What does it teach? Jesus Christ dying on a cross that He can bear us. Raise us up in Him. So, these are illustrations He used. So here in John 15, Jesus Christ once again uses nature to teach a very important point on fruit bearing that all of these disciples understood. And they're simple enough that even if we're city slickers, that we can understand them. Okay? Abide in me, and I also in you. See, if you're in me, It's by the work of the Spirit. And if that's the case, then I'm there. So abide in me, and I also in you. It just kind of goes together. As the branch cannot bear fruit by of itself, unless it abides in the vine. Now the lesson. So neither can you, believer, unless you abide in me, Jesus Christ. Again, this is why it is so important for the believer to know how to abide in him. It's essential. Preachers will tell us, preach sermons, we got to abide in Christ, abide in Christ. How do you do that? Work hard. Listen to gospel music. Pray, do these things. No, you can't bring this about. All that we can do is faith. Always remember that. Somebody tells you you do something, you just say, wait a minute, I've got the ruler, the scale of evaluating things from the gospel. And all I had to do in the gospel was trust. It doesn't change to be filled with the Spirit, to production in life, to anything in life. It's the same standard. So it is essential that we know how to abide in Him, and I'm afraid there are very few who know how to abide in Him. Multitude of believers think they are bearing a basket of fruit, while in fact they're not bearing the fruit that God wants. They're like Cain. Look at all the work, and here's my fruit. I don't want that. I don't want your works. That glorifies you. I want my works. It's not acceptable to God. So Cain offered God his very best, but it was unacceptable because it wasn't the work of the Holy Spirit. It wasn't the work of God. So offering Abel offered the lamb, and that's the whole picture of the gospel of the coming Messiah, and that's acceptable. That's the only thing acceptable. But we just were so caught up in just doing, 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 that if I do, God's going to accept it. Okay, let's go to verse 5. I, Jesus Christ, am the vine in this illustration. You, born-again believers, are the branches. Got vine and branches, Jesus Christ and believers. Here's the grace and love of God and of Jesus Christ. I am, you are. See it there? I am, you are. Because I am, you are, is the idea. So those are just simple things right from the beginning that we can observe right up front. I am, and because I am, you are. You exist. It's not a matter of your performance. It's not a matter of your sufficiency. Absolute status, nothing about this being dependent upon the fruit, him being dependent upon the fruit, any of these type of things. This is what you are in relationship to him, no matter whether you bear fruit or not. I am, you are. You may not bear any fruit, but you're still this. There's that relationship. I am, you are. In yourself, you are non-productive branch. All of us are non-productive branches in ourselves. There is no juice carrying the nutrients. There's no power from the vine to the branch when you're not in the power of the Spirit. Now, this power is given through the juices of the vine, but ours is done by the power of the Holy Spirit. It's the same picture of the lampstand. We're just a lampstand. We don't produce the light. The oil, the Holy Spirit, and the light, Jesus Christ, and we're just standing there holding it. That's all we do. We're going to do it. That's it. So this is the same picture, the vine and the branch. The connection is the juices of the power, and that's the Holy Spirit. Once you abide in the vine, by faith, then you're productive. When you are on your own, you're non-productive as a branch, as far as anything coming out of you worthy to God. This is clear as it could be that we are completely totally dependent upon the Holy Spirit for Christ to abide in us and for us to produce fruit. We are totally dependent upon the Holy Spirit. A branch cannot bear fruit apart from the vine. A believer cannot produce apart from Jesus Christ. In and of itself, the branch has nothing required to bear fruit. In and of itself, the branch has nothing required to bear fruit. In and of himself, the believer has nothing. We have no power, no ability. It's the vine, the branch, the Holy Spirit. He runs that link between them. So this is what we're totally dependent upon. The branch bears fruit, but it does not produce that fruit. It bears the fruit, but does not produce it. The Holy Spirit does. Unfortunately, few Bible students understand or even consider the relationship between Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit and the believer. It's just not dealt that well. One reason is preachers don't want to go into this kind of study. It divides. Well, I don't believe that, so you leave. And we want to have as many people as we can, so we don't want to teach things that are divisive. And the more you teach of the Bible, the more divisive you'll become. The more dogmatic you teach, the more divisive. And they're afraid to be divisive. So they even consider that those relationships. Where the Holy Spirit is, Jesus Christ is. If we're empowered by the Holy Spirit, there is Christ. We bear fruit only in Christ. We bear fruit only in the Holy Spirit. It's that simple. Let's look at Galatians 5:22. Galatians 5:22. But the fruit of the Holy Spirit. It's a fruit of Him, not you. It comes through us. Love. Well, we're commanded to love as Christ loved. People, it doesn't come from you. It comes from the Holy Spirit. Joy. We're to be happy. But it's not your happiness, and it's not happiness based on circumstances. Peace. Patience. Kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Even in the worst form of communism, Nazism, there was no law given out against love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. No law. No law against it. You're walking in the Spirit, not going to break the law in that sense. Let's look at Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1, verse 19. Philippians 1, 19. For I know that this shall turn out for my deliverance through your prayers and the provision of the Holy Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and hope, that I shall not be put to shame in anything, but with all boldness Christ shall even now, as always, be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. People, when you walk in the power of the Spirit, Christ is going to be exalted in your life. He will dwell there. His love will flow through you. Verse 21, for me to live is Christ. To die is gain. But if I am to live on in this flesh, this will mean fruitful labor for me. Not of me, but for me. I'm walking by faith in the Spirit. And I do not know which to choose. But I am hard pressed from both directions, having the desire to depart and to be face to face with Christ is the idea. because he comes and abides in us. But boy, there's a big difference when we see him face to face. Okay? For that is very much better. Yet to remain on in the flesh is more necessary for your sake, for the sake of others that will listen to his teaching. Okay, let's go back to John 14, or 15. John 15, verse 5. I am the vine, you are the branches. I am, you are. He who abides in me, and I in him, he bears much fruit. He, whichever of the believers, doesn't matter. Whichever of the believers who abides in me. How do we abide in him? By faith in the Holy Spirit. We've already studied that, so we don't need to take them up again. Whole bunch of points. How do we abide in him? By walking by faith in the Spirit. I in him, how's that? By the presence of the Holy Spirit. He, the believer in the Holy Spirit, abiding in Christ, and Christ abiding in him, bears much fruit. For apart from me, the vine, you, the branch, the believer, can do nothing. One of the saddest things that is said of a believer, I believe, is being separated from Christ. Be a believer, to be separated from Christ. I'm newly married. I think one of the saddest things is when I'm separated from my wife. And maybe after 5 years, I'll welcome her to be gone for a while. But right now, or vice versa. Or vice versa. And, but I think one of the saddest things is when a believer is separated from Christ. It's just sad. Let's look at Galatians 5 again a moment. Galatians chapter 5. Galatians 5:4. You, believers, have been savored, separated, apart from Christ. You are seeking to be justified in life by the law. You have fallen from grace. You have been severed from Christ, fallen from grace. Note that Jesus Christ does not say, and I'll go back to our passage now, back to John 15, John 15, 5. Note that Christ does not say in his wording, the way he words these things, he says, I am the vine, you are the branches, he abides in me, and I in him. Bears much fruit, but apart from me, you can do nothing. Note that he does not say you can produce nothing. Rather, Jesus Christ is even more emphatic than that. This will make poor English, but very strong Greek. We have the double negative. You can not do nothing is the best Greek. That makes poor English, double negative. But in the Greek, in perfect English, perfect conveyance of the thought, meaning you cannot do anything. You can do absolutely nothing apart from Jesus Christ. That's what he's saying. Whether you want to talk about production, prayer, giving, learning scripture, anything, you cannot do it apart from Christ. So this is more emphatic. He didn't just say you can produce nothing. That would have stayed with the motif. He kind of changed it a little bit, and he said, you cannot do anything. Present middle indicative of dunamai. Dunamai means the ability. The ability to do something. Here it's a strong, with a strong negative. Not able. No ability. You are not able to do. Present active indicative of the verb to do, poieo, and then nothing. You are not able to do nothing. Again, poor English, great Greek. So just to keep it in good English, you are not able to do anything. So this is just our status quo. We can do nothing apart from God or acceptable to God without abiding in Christ, and this through the power of the Holy Spirit. If, since we are in Christ, how can we be apart from Him? We're in Him positionally. How can we be apart from Him? Jesus Christ is here speaking experientially, not positionally. You got to be able to separate those two. Best analogy I can give in the earthly form is a husband and wife. They are positionally married. Doesn't mean they're experientially together. Doesn't mean they're experientially happy together. They're living their own individual lives, but they're still one. It's the best example I can give. In position, we are in Christ. Doesn't mean you're going to walk with Him. Doesn't mean you're going to abide in Him. Doesn't mean He's going to abide in you. This is up to you, a decision of faith. So we can be in fellowship or out. We can be filled with the Holy Spirit, empowered by the Holy Spirit, or not. We can abide in Jesus Christ or not. We can be alive in Christ or dead in the flesh. A depraved nature that we're studying on Sunday morning. Our relationship with Jesus Christ depends totally on our relationship with the Holy Spirit, people. This is so emphatic. Our relationship with God is totally dependent on our relationship with Christ. Our total relationship with Christ is dependent on our relationship with the Holy Spirit. The Jews said, "We don't need you, Jesus. We don't need you, Messiah. We are right with God." No, you're not. No, you're not right with God. If you were right with God, you'd be right with me. So, I can have a relationship with Jesus Christ without all of this Holy Spirit stuff. No, you can't. No, you can't. Got to have a relationship with the Holy Spirit, fellowship with Him, to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. If we are not walking by the Holy Spirit, we do not abide in Christ. And Christ does not abide in us. It's that simple. If we are not led by the Holy Spirit, we're not following Christ. See, the Holy Spirit follows Christ. We follow the Spirit. We're following Christ. If we are not empowered by the Holy Spirit, we're not loving as Christ loved. Because the fruit of the Spirit is spiritual love. So if you're not empowered by the Spirit, don't claim to love Jesus Christ. Don't claim to love God. Don't claim to love anybody spiritually. In the spiritual realm, that is acceptable to God, because your love is not acceptable. Anything in the flesh is totally depraved. And He crucified it. But many people get down there at night, like the old Vincent Price movie, movies, and dig up the corpse. We want to dig up that old flesh nature, and we love him so, brush him off a little bit, and put him back on. That's what we do every time. We just, so much we want to be the grave robbers. If we do not live by the Holy Spirit, Jesus Christ does not live in us. For me to live is Christ, Christ lives in me. Galatians chapter 2. But if we're not alive in Christ, in the Holy Spirit, Christ is not alive in us. So now our passage says, "But apart from me," when we are separated from Jesus Christ, and people, that's by our choice, and our decision is toward the Holy Spirit, though. Got to remember that. Whether we're abiding in Christ is dependent upon our attitude toward the Holy Spirit. You ever been apart from something or someone you loved? Apart for an hour, a day, longer? Well, when we refuse to walk by faith in the Holy Spirit, we're apart from Jesus Christ. He's gone. Fellowship with Him is gone. It's all over. Just remember that. When we're not walking by faith in the Spirit, we're separated from Christ, severed from Christ. Many believers like to talk about how much they love Jesus, and they like to sing, "Oh, how I love Jesus," but spend a great deal of their time in the flesh. And most believers spend very little time in the Holy Spirit because they don't know how. They don't need to go study His Word. They don't need to assemble with others. They don't need to spend maximum time in the power of the Holy Spirit. They're too busy. Well, then you're too busy to be in fellowship with Him. It's that simple. Too busy to be in fellowship with the Spirit, you're too busy to be in fellowship with Jesus Christ. Don't kid yourself. Saying you love someone is different from loving them. Then, of course, comes the question, is your love the love that God is looking for? That's the big question. And the only love that God is looking for is love that comes from the Holy Spirit. The love that God is looking for, the love that Christ is looking for, is a love that is given by a fruit of the Spirit. It's the only type of love that He's looking for. Quick analogy. A parent that's looking for their little 10-year-old to say, I love you, and get off on all of that, they're not very wise parents. That's as fickle as the next no. And the next time you say no, that love's gone. When an adult child comes back and says, I love you, that's different. That's powerful. Christ is not interested in love from our flesh. He's not interested in our woozy, funny, fuzzy feeling love. But it's got to be a love of the fruit of the Spirit. Okay, verse 5. Apart from me, you can do nothing. When most Christians have major things in their lives, they turn to the Lord. Most Christians will turn to the Lord. In fact, non-Christians will. But day in and day out, they can do it on their own. So they think. People, we can do nothing on our own. Nothing that is going to be favorable to God. Put us into fellowship with Christ. Bear fruit. It's just amazing. All the big, boy, I need you on these big things, God. But day in and day out, I'll just drive to work, do all this, and do everything. I don't really need Him. He's there when I really do need Him. See? We can do nothing without Him. That's why I love what Christ said here. He didn't say you cannot produce fruit without me. You can do nothing without me. That's emphatic. And you have to decide, do I believe that or not? Do I believe that I can do some things apart from the power of the Spirit? People, we can't even pray without Him. Can't even pray. I don't know what any of your prayer lives are. In fact, I really don't even know what my own wife's is, because we spend our time together, but she may have other time. Hopefully she prays and she's doing other things too. But just talking about prayer. How many times do you quickly go into prayer without even thinking of the Holy Spirit or Jesus Christ? You know what you're praying then? You're praying that my will be done. First thing you've got to do in prayer is, it's the will of God. This is my request. And we do have that bona fide privilege of letting Him know our request. We can't even pray without the Holy Spirit. Thank you for this food. Help me to go to work. Watch over my children. All these type of things. Are you in the power of the Spirit when you pray it? Or is it just ritual? Something you learn you got to do? This type of thing? I'm sorry, I know I'm through the Spirit right now, but I still love that prayer we read about a little boy. Now I lay me down to sleep, and the Lord take me while I'm asleep. That's one less test I have to take tomorrow. And just when we pray to Him, even these everyday, every ritual, bedtime, wake up, food, are you in the power of the Spirit? Because if you're not, people, nothing. Nothing. You might as well be talking to your dog. Because it doesn't matter. People, we cannot even pray apart from the Holy Spirit, apart from Jesus Christ. We cannot do it. We certainly can't love. We've already covered all of that. So what without Him? Is it His love? Is it love of the fruit of the Spirit? Do you desire to love your husband, your wife, parent, children, friends with a love that touches time and eternity? Well, you won't if you're apart from the Holy Spirit, which means you're apart from Jesus. You're not abiding in Him, so His love's not going to flow through you. It's that simple. You realize you cannot even think. This is interesting. You cannot even think a good thought apart from Him. Oh, yes, I can. I can think some good things. I can think good thoughts about God, because I know some Bible verses. Look with me at Isaiah 55. Isaiah 55. Isaiah 55:8. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Okay, let's be antagonist. Wait a minute. You mean I just can't at any time think of some thought about the essence of God, think about the crucifixion of Christ, and those aren't good thoughts that God has? People, it's like doing what God wants you to do under the leading of the Spirit at that point. It's not that what you're thinking isn't biblical. It's not what God would have you to be thinking at that particular moment, that particular time. What does He want you to pray in regard to this person? What does He want you to think in regard to this person? How will your love act and sound and look at that particular moment? It's a moment-by-moment relationship with Christ and with the Holy Spirit. It's powerful. Our passage makes it clear that apart from Christ, you cannot even think the thoughts of God apart from being in Christ by the presence of the Holy Spirit. Look with me at Philippians 2. Philippians 2. This, I think, gets closer to what we want to deal with. Philippians 2, verse 5. Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Jesus Christ. What was that attitude? See, I hope I can communicate this. It's not a matter of thinking nice thoughts about God. It's about thinking what God would have us to think in any given moment, in any given situation. Jesus Christ's attitude in the Philippians passage is what? As God, I'll lower myself and take the form of humanity. As humanity, I will become the servant. Now, wait a minute. This attitude isn't this attitude in Christ? You're the vine, I'm the vine, you're the branches, and bear fruit through me? Yeah, wait a minute, you can't think all of these things of His. It means to think what He would think at that given moment. When you and I are in that position where we have to lower ourselves, we know love by this, that He laid down His life for us. We ought to lay down our lives for one another. Now, does that mean you can't love someone in spiritual love without laying down your life? No. But if it comes to that, at a particular point, that's what we're ready to do. So it depends. The thinking of Christ is at what He would do at any given moment. That's why I hated, I mean just hated, that WWJD trend that was going on. And I'm so glad it's over. It is over, isn't it? I mean, I hadn't heard it in a long time. Have you heard radios or anything? Kids wearing those doggone bracelets. So, we don't know. I don't know what He would think. I mean, at one moment he tells a woman that she's just low and scum, and another time he tells somebody else that he will not walk with them. How do I know how He would act in every moment? How do I know how what Jesus Christ would do and think at every given circumstance in my life? I don't. But the Holy Spirit does. That's why we walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. Christ abides in us. We know. We know. And we know what that love looks like. And we know when that love is not there. We know it. And when that love is not there, what do we know? He's not there. The Holy Spirit's not there. Man, I'm really out here. I'm really out. Christ isn't here. The Holy Spirit isn't here. His thoughts are not mine. I'm not. His ways are not mine. Got to get back in fellowship. Got to get back into abiding in Christ. So this is what we have going on here. We can do nothing without Him. Can't even think the way He would have us to think. And don't think that just means always thinking nice thoughts. That means thinking at any given particular moment in your life, every decision you've got to make, every opportunity that comes along in your life, from the time we get up till we go to bed. And can you think the way He thinks on every given situation? No, we can't. But if we're in the power of His Spirit, then the Holy Spirit knows the thoughts of God. He can give them to us. Okay, we'll resume here in 2 weeks. Next week, we'll not have class. I'll be at the pre-trib conference with John and Dan. And so please be in prayer about that. And every now and then we pick up a few good things. And but it's just also good fellowship with meeting men. And we have seen, just to let you know, Dan and John and I, and I don't want this to come across arrogantly, but I hope you'll understand, we have seen some men make moves toward faith in the Holy Spirit that they would have never made had we just separated ourselves, been separatists. But we fellowshiped with them. We did not make a big issue about they believed in confession or they believed in this or that. We just dealt with what we believed. And we've had, at every one of these, we've had men come and sit down at lunchtime or sometime, just sit down. And what is it you believe about the filling of the Spirit? I understand you believe something different than what I was taught in the past, all this. And we just, okay, here it is. We don't make a big deal. And we've seen several men make moves they would never have made. Some all the way. So let's just be in prayer for every one of those men, pastors or teachers or workers that we'll come in contact with next week. Let's close. All of them. Yeah. See, you're more optimistic. I pray for one. But you just keep praying for all. Okay, let's close in a word of prayer. Father, we need to be warned and reminded we can do nothing without the Holy Spirit. We can do nothing without Jesus Christ abiding in Him and He in us. Nothing. Not just a matter of bearing fruit, but nothing. Thinking, prayer, singing, giving. Father, I pray that we take the things we've seen tonight in Your Word, let them settle down into the foundation in our hearts and our souls, and then spring forth fruit inside of us that will flow outside of us. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.